Well, we're back. And we have... Who's with us, Karen?
Yes, Karen LaPerry.
Hey, Karen, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. I have my notes a little confused here today. I got kind of backwards. I just want to say that it's once again, it's always a pleasure to have you. And, you know, I've seen some incredible photos in my day, but... nothing like those that you're about to share with us. I think that they're the most incredible photos I have seen in a long, long time. They're just breathtaking.
Well, I thank you. I think in large part the inspiration is from the Tuscan countryside. It's not all me. It's a beautiful place.
And for those listening online, you can go to Destination Worldview icon and click on Karen's article, and you can follow us along with the wonderful photos as we chat with you. Let's start with how your trip how it all began.
Well, it all began as part of a photography seminar sponsored by Rocky Mountain School of Photography. They offer seminars, workshops all over the world, and a lot, of course, in the United States. And they cater to all levels, beginners to professionals. But what I like about them is the fact that you get a week at a field location, as they call it,
right,
where you're in the companionship of other fellow individuals who like photography, because you're getting up at sunrise, you know, and you're out there at sunset taking these photos, and family and friends kind of burn out after a while. But you're with this group of like-minded people,
right,
in a beautiful setting with two instructors, and classes are small, usually no more than 12. And these instructors are always available to help you with the technical assistance in terms of, the right f-stop or the exposure, or even the composition of the photo. And if nothing else, just their inspiration is always very beneficial. And then, I guess in the final analysis, for me to do this in a week of my time would probably take a year to learn all these secret spots that these instructors take us to. And so they've done all the hard work. They know where the light's beautiful. They know where the sun's going to rise and where's the best spot to put your tripod. So I can't say enough about this Rocky Mountain School of Photography, and I would encourage all listeners to please check them out. They're listed in the article, but I can go ahead and give you that site. I'm fumbling right
That's
now.
That's okay. As you look for that, you start your article out, which is saying, nowhere in the world are rural landscapes as intriguing, as illuminating, or as enlightening as they are in the farmlands and vineyards of Tuscany. What a wonderful statement.
I think it's nothing but the truth. Let me give that website, and I'll address that. It's www.rmst.com, and anyone who's interested in capturing beautiful images,
right,
or just improving their creativity, I would encourage them to check it out. But as far as the statement about the mystique of Tuscany, you know, I'm really not the first to capture that, and I won't be the last.
Right.
Even Charles Dickens had something to say about that, you know, in terms of how beautiful the light is.
Yes.
And I think it's a combination of where they're situated as far as the latitude, where they sit, because you kind of get, you know, an indirect sun during your seasons. But it's also a combination of the rolling hills, the fog that diffuses the light and creates this soft aurora. So that,
right,
you know, many of the pictures feel like you're in a dreamlike state. And I think that's, you know, what I felt like when I was there. It almost felt like a dream. It was just so beautiful.
Now, you call it an agriscape, experience. Explain, if you will, for our audience, the term agriscape.
Well, you know, an agriscape is really nothing more than a landscape in which agriculture is the predominant theme.
Mm-hmm.
And primarily is going to include things like patterns of crops, colors of the harvest, you know, the rolling hills with the different crop lines, that kind of thing.
Right. And so you go off in the heart of this region, as you say, that the Tuscan agriscape with its surrealistic light. In the heart of this region, not far from the medieval city of Siena, is the Spagnoccia. Is that the kind of...
Let me pronounce that, because, yeah. You know, I
That's
had
not
to
an
take,
easy one.
No, I had to take several lessons in it, too. but my coaching actually came from an Italian, so
right.
I think this is pretty much on target. Maybe the accent won't be. But it's Castello di Spagnoccia.
Spagnoccia, okay.
Mm-hmm, a hard C.
Okay, I've got it. Now, it's a private estate, about 1,200 acres of vineyards, olive groves, fields, and mountain forests. Tell us about that.
It's very pristine, and pretty much has been handed down the way agrarian crops would have been farmed in the medieval days. They had kind of a share tenant or a sharecropping system that was in place for most of Tuscany that really defined the rural area there until right before World War II, when improved communications and technology all of a sudden kind of made the sharecropping system a little bit obsolete. And for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years, you saw some of these estates coming on the auction block for sale. This particular property, Spagnoccia, was bought by Delfino Cimelli, and I was told that was a hard C, back in 1925. And now his great-granddaughter, Francesca Cimelli, and her husband, Randall, actually helped manage the estate there. And then there's Aaron Cimelli, who's actually located in Maine, who is head of the foundation for Spagnoccia. And in a nutshell, what they're all about is sustainability and community involvement and demonstrating the culture of Tuscany, the way it used to be.
And self-sustaining organic agriculture, as I understand.
Yes, yes, very much so.
Well, and then, of course, you went there to look at Tuscany through the lens, as you say, and as a student of photography, which you went into in some detail in the beginning, and you mentioned that the note about Mark Twain, which I thought was which was wonderful. Tell us a bit more about you talk about an eerie night at San Galano, is that how you pronounce
Ouch.
It? You know, this is, you know, these words, I don't even want to touch the one before that.
I might have difficulty with that, too, because in many cases I've only read these words.
Anyway, so you go to this marvelous night shoot. Tell us about that.
Well, and unfortunately, you don't have a photo that demonstrates that, but it was a highlight. And many tourists, you know, who do the byway-type tour, we'll go there during the day, but it's open 24 hours, and at night they have this plethora of lights that shine on this kind of abandoned abbey, you know, where there's no ceiling.
Right.
And you see the stars, you see the sky, the moon, and it's just all lit up, and it makes for some of just the most gorgeous night photos of this abbey. And I think the only thing I was lacking was the chanting of monks in the background.
But you could hear them in your mind.
Oh, definitely.
So, you mentioned, I was just looking for something that you had mentioned in the article that I found quite fascinating. Everything in this article is fascinating. It's one of the most beautiful stories I've read in a long time, and needless to say, as I said in the beginning, the photos are just absolutely breathtaking. It's a collection that you can certainly be proud of. I mean, when you showed these just to your friends, they must have just gasped when they looked at them.
Well, actually, I'm rolling it out for the premiere for Talking Travel Radio Network.
Wow, well, thank you very much. We're certainly honored because they're magnificent, and I'm sure that everybody that's looking through them now is gasping as I mentioned. Now, we talked about the organic part of it, and it's about living in harmony with the land, and that's what this foundation and this place is all about. Tell us more.
Well, you know, if someone's not into photography, I guess the point I want to make is this is not an exclusive estate. This is open to the traveling public. And what they specialize in when they open their doors is are these educational workshops and seminars that really anyone can sign up for. You get to stay on site in these beautiful farmhouses that are pretty much the way they were in the medieval days. You can even see the worn brick as you go to your room. But you still have the modern comforts of, you know, hot and cold water, that kind of thing.
Right.
You have shared meals in a large dining room where there's long tables. And if nothing else, just the opportunity to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with your classmates just really makes for a wonderful bonding experience. And then, you know, one of the things I didn't even mention was every evening out on the via or the porch, I'll call it the American term, they have a wine tasting of the organic wines that they make there on property. And so it's a wonderful opportunity, it was complimentary, to go out and meet the other classmates, the other seminars that are going on at the same time. For example, when I was there, there were plein air painters, plein air meaning those who paint in the fresh air and pretty much try to capture the light as they see it. But for 2006, for example, there's any multitude of workshops, ranging from writing seminars to landscape painting. Landscape preservation work project that focuses on forestry.
Right.
There's a cooking school, Food and Culture in Italy, from May 3rd through June 4th, sponsored by University of Pennsylvania. So I would encourage everyone to take a look at the pretty exhaustive number of seminars, and yoga is there as well, and see what might interest you, and use that as one excuse, one big excuse, to take yourself to Tuscany.
And you say the gift is the opportunity to experience local food, culture, and history as a part of a global understanding of the importance of individual stewardship, and that's a very nice statement.
Well, and very lofty, I might say, but of any place I've ever been, I think they pretty much hit the mark.
Well, Karen, thank you very, very much. And it's an interesting article. The photos, I can't say enough about the photos. And we thank you. We've got to run, but we hope to talk to you real soon.
Well, Roy, thanks again. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, great story. If you haven't taken the opportunity, you need to go online and have a look at the photos there, and the article, of course, but the photos are just absolutely magnificent.